Hello. All right. This is the Queen's Club call. If you're wondering what it's Queen's Club, it's for anyone who's lost 25 pounds or more since joining No BS, or you've been listening to my podcast and then since joined No BS, you can raise your hand to get called on to get coached. So if you'll just start raising your hands, that'd be great. And I'm going to start bringing up Maya, you're first. And Coach Lizzie, I'm bringing you up. So she'll be in the Q&A. So if you have a question, you can also answer in the Q&A and we will get going. All right. How are
All
you?
right. I'm great. How are you?
Good.
Happy Christmas. Merry Christmas Eve.
Thank you. Thank you. What do you want coaching on?
Okay, so I have been dealing with a lot of thoughts since I got engaged in October, which was not a surprise, but still very exciting.
Yeah.
But we decided we wanted to get married next July, which I feel like is relatively short engagement. And I'm very excited about it, but I've definitely noticed a lot more thoughts about, oh, I need to kick things into overdrive and I need to do things that are a little more extreme or not necessarily going back to strict dieting, but oh, I need to level up like every single day and make all these huge changes. I guess I need help on
Well, let me ask you this.
understanding which
Do you
parts of
want
that
to
are
do that?
healthy and which are not.
Yeah, but
I
this is the
do, but
thing.
I don't want it to be in an unsustainable way.
But the only way it would be an unsustainable way is if you were doing it from a place of, and I don't ever plan to keep doing that ever again. Like if you're just leveling, if you're just like, you
And
know
that's
what?
not how I
Now that
feel.
I've got my wedding coming, I can make 10 changes that I was going to be doing anyway. I was just going to make them over time. Now I'm just going to make them all right now and do it. That doesn't mean it's not unsustainable.
Okay. I think I just have a fear that it's gonna trigger me to want to self-sabotage, or I don't know that I've never really had that
Let me just tell you.
healthy relationship with losing weight for events.
Yeah, but
Yeah,
this is the
I don't
thing. Whether
want
you
it to
take
be.
it slow or you take it fast, if you're going to have self-sabotage stuff triggered, that's coming no matter what you do. The problem isn't that that stuff gets triggered. You can't avoid your self-sabotage stuff. The whole point of losing weight and the way that we teach it is to trigger your self-sabotage so that when it starts, we work through it. So it doesn't matter whether or not you do everything at once or you do everything spread out, self-sabotage is coming.
Okay.
What is
That's
it? What
helpful.
is.
I feel like I go.
No, you go ahead.
I just feel like I'm doing that thing that you tell us not to do, where I'm comparing the past and expecting my future to look like that, because in the past I have made level ups and then I'm like, nope, now I'm taking several steps back.
But let
Like
me ask
I'll
you this.
be
In the
doing really
past,
well and then,
well, let's pull it
yes.
apart. In the past, when you made level ups, were they level ups? Were they things that you were going to keep doing for the rest of your life? Like, tell me the level
Yes.
ups you made that you were just like, no, I'm not doing that no more.
Well, I guess I just kind of tried to gamify things. So like July through October, I was doing really well. I lost like 10 pounds. And over the
Okay.
last couple of months, it's creeped back up. And so I was trying, I had
But
an
that's
issue
not because
that
you
I was,
did well July through October. What happened in October?
I got engaged, but also I also was doing this thing where I would hydrate. I was working on my hydration because I noticed in my data, I'm a scientist, a medical scientist, so I love the data. And I was
Yeah.
noticing on the days that I didn't hydrate were the days where I would not have doable hunger as well. I would not follow that. And so I was like, okay, these overeats are happening at night. So how about I make it a thing where I have to finish all my water before I have dessert? And it was working really well. And I felt good about it at the time, and I thought I was going to do it forever. But then, I don't know, suddenly the rebel mentality kicked in. I'm like, no,
How
I
do
want to
you
have
know it
dessert
was
now. And
rebel mentality? What were the words that your brain said that said, you know what? Fuck drinking water. It's time to go back to eating dessert at night.
I don't know. It happened. I feel like subtly,
So that's
I
not
did some.
rebel. Rebel is very loud. I
Yeah.
want you to think about a
Okay.
rebel. Rebels are not like sitting in the back somewhere hidden, like, don't do it. Like,
Okay.
think about like if we were going to go march in the streets. How many
Okay.
people who actually show up to a protest or just like, I'll be in the library if with my sign if anyone needs me.
Yeah. Okay,
Or
so
they're
maybe
just out
it's
there like,
not.
right. So the only reason why I'm saying this is I don't want you mislabeling what's happening. I want you to be
Okay.
real factual because you're a scientist. From July until October, I lost 10 pounds and I was doing things that I was going to keep doing. In October, I got engaged. We don't know if that was a trigger or not. There's nothing you've told me that said, once I got engaged, that's exactly when I noticed my dessert wanting to kick in at night.
Yeah, I don't think it was that. I think it's because the holidays in general, my birthday's in November. I'm in a PhD program, which is really amping up. And I think the wedding on top of that might have been a little, not a
Okay, so
trigger, but a
I'm
little bit
eating
of
at
a
night
extra
to deal with my
excuse.
stress.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, so that's very different than I'm rebelling
Yeah.
against doing good. It's like, no, you're not. Like, you're going after your PhD. You got engaged. It's your birthday and the holidays. Lots of things happening all at once. And you're just like, you know what? Rather than managing my mind, dessert sounds good.
Yep,
But the other good thing
sounds
you
about
noticed
right.
was that you needed to drink water and you started drinking water and that helped.
It did. And so
So are
now
we.
my brain is going like 180. And so recently in the last like week or two, I've been like, okay, so I'm going to start drinking my water. I'm going to take two extra Peloton rides. Last time you coached me, I was getting ready for my first marathon and I did that. And I was really identifying very strongly as a runner. And then I injured myself in September, and so I can't run for the foreseeable future until I get surgery. So I've been doing my Peloton rides, met
Okay.
Alex Toussaint. It's going great. And now I'm like, oh, I love it so much. Let me just ramp that up too. And I just want to make all these changes, and I just want
But
to kind of
here's
pull
the
myself
thing.
back. That's why.
But you're wanting to pull yourself back for shitty reasons.
Okay.
I think you think I'm wanting to do these things for shitty reasons. And I'm like, I think you're pulling yourself back for shitty reasons. You're saying if
Okay.
I level up, that's wrong. So I shouldn't do that. And I'm saying you don't even know why you want to level up to begin with. Sometimes, like if I, let's say the camp is coming up. I very often am leveling up quite a bit 8 weeks before camp. Why do you think that is?
Because you want to look and feel your best.
Yeah, I want to wear good looking fucking clothes on stage.
Yeah.
Like,
Yeah.
and I don't want to run out of energy, and I don't want to be sitting there like, y'all, I got to sit down. It's camp. You know, I really haven't been taking good care of myself. You know, I was really afraid to level up.
Yeah.
Didn't want to
When you put it that
sabotage
way.
myself. You know, like, good Lord, let's not do that. This is the thing I want you to think about. All we're gonna, like, if you think about the think, feel, do cycle that I teach in the breaking diet thinking thing. Doing is two Peloton rides. Doing is drinking water. Doing is anything that you're going to do to lose weight. We want to examine our reasons behind it. Just like, so you've got one think, feel, do cycle that has, let's do two bike rides. Let's get on the water. Let's do all these other things. You've got another one that's saying, don't do much. Slow down. All the, like, it's having you do very little.
Yeah.
And I think on both sides, you haven't examined why you're wanting to do anything, because until you figure that out, we don't even know which path to go down. But that's why I'm trying to show you neither one's bad, neither one's good.
Okay. Yeah, I think I just struggle because as a scientist, I don't have evidence in the past when I've made several little changes at one time. I've had to like pull myself back, like, okay, let's just change the water or let's just add an extra ride here and there. And so I
What
guess because
evidence
I've
do you
never
have
done
to the
it.
contrary? Can you tell me exactly a time when you were losing weight and doing things like where you leveled up several things and that was too much?
Not in no BS, but I guess just
Okay, so you
in
have zero evidence.
my diet history. You're
No. The
right,
diet
yeah.
history doesn't count
Yeah.
because that's why I was asking you. In diet history, you weren't leveling up. And I think that's something you need to actually look at. Leveling up means
Okay.
making slight improvements on things that you're doing that you intend on doing for a long time, like the rest of your life, like making lifestyle-based choices. When we do diets, you're confusing leveling up with following rules simply to lose weight.
Yeah, and just I think in my mind, I was, yeah, it's like thinking like, oh, I need to be more strict when that's not the case. So I guess I need to examine that a little deeper. Doesn't necessarily have to equate to like, oh, now everything has to feel hard. Just different. It's changing.
Well, let's just say this. How much weight do you want to lose before your wedding?
Like 20 pounds. I already have my dress and it fits
oh,
right
my
now.
Fucking God. All like we're talking 20, about 25. Is 20 pounds?
Yeah.
In but like I, in 7 months?
Yeah, I know. It's very sustainable. It's very doable. I mean, I feel like that's the lower end. Ideally 40, but I'm shooting for 20 to 25.
I think 20 is a perfect like amount. Well, okay. I don't even know the math. What is that? If you have seven months and you lost 4 pounds per month, which is highly doable, that's just 1 pound, like 1 pound a week. We're talking 28 pounds.
Yeah. That is super doable.
It does not require, like your brain needs to think it requires the basics. That is it. Like when you, okay. Like, what are these level up other than like drinking your water is not a level up, by the way.
Yeah.
Can we just say that that doesn't count as a level up? That is called basic fucking human needs. You're a scientist. You know your body needs water.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, I love it when y'all like to try to sneak in, like, I'm going to level up. You know, I'm not going to eat to full to where I'm nauseated anymore. I'm like, I don't know if that's called a level up or are we just doing that because that just makes good fucking sense.
Yeah. No, I've been like making more pauses. So like I'll pause more during dinner specifically. And I think that's helped. I've been waiting for breakfast. I used to just like eat immediately after I worked out without even questioning hunger. So now I wait a little bit, but I think my brain needed to hear that.
Yeah. Cause I don't think there's anything other than the two bike rides is unsustainable, but I will just say there are times where like I might want to do a couple. It depends on how long the bike rides are too. Like a lot of times I pick the 20-minute ones first. So that way, if I feel like I want to work out longer, I just do another 20-minute one.
Yeah. And I'm already riding like, my bike. Like, yeah.
Yeah. It all, like it's like, that's technically like one workout. It just feels like so much more progress.
That's a good point. Because I'm already riding it like 3 times a week, which I've been consistent with. But I'm like, maybe I should ride 5 times a week on top of like the strength training I'm doing. And maybe that's not the best. I can just.
But you want to, this is what you want to say. This is how I would approach it. I can totally, if I want to do cardio 5 times a week on top of my strength training, I can. But if there's weeks I don't feel like doing that, then I just do the 3. Like if there's weeks where I'm just more motivated, I have more energy, I am more focused, I'm going to ride the wave. And if there's weeks where I'm like more tired, just very much like with me and my workouts right now with my trainer, I'm doing 5 days of strength training. And so there's 4 splits and then there's 1 full body day, which is an ass fucking kicker. Might I add, I did it yesterday. And then she has written me this cardio routine to do that is only 15 minutes long, but it is the longest 15 minutes of your life. It's got like ropes and you're jumping around like a freaking monkey everywhere. And I just feel like I'm flying. Like it's a lot of plyo and you can't catch your breath. And so the last 2 weeks, I had not had it in me. And I just wrote her and just said, I got those strength training workouts done. My primary focus was my strength training workouts. Second was if I could do one of those cardio workouts, I will add it in the last 2 weeks. My body has been like, no, no, this is not going to work. So we just go for a walk and talk to Jane. And so like now the first week I got it, I was super excited. I did it. I'm going to try it again next week. But this is where the thought work comes in. You're assuming anything you do is too much, too fast.
Yeah.
Without asking yourself, is it really? Are there times where I might want to do this? And are there times I might not? And that's okay. I want to like my reasons behind doing it, because what we don't want to do is on the weeks where you are like, I do have energy. It would be so fun to do 2 rides. I think this is great. Whatever. We don't want to be like, but let's caution against the positive version of us.
Yeah.
she's too positive. It's like, no, she's not. But there might be a side of you that's being too negative right now.
Yeah,
Let's
I think
caution
that's
against
definitely the
her.
case.
Let's have an open mind to it.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's super helpful.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it comes from I think in the past I have done stricter diets and I've lost 70 pounds and gained it back. And so now I'm like, oh, I don't want to do anything that's even remotely unsustainable and then gain it all back. And so I think
Well,
it's a
then this is
fear.
the agreement I want you to make with yourself, because I think you just said the most wisest thing out of this call. To lose weight for my wedding, I will not do anything that I don't feel like it's in my best interest to keep doing.
Okay.
So if I start thinking I need to get stricter, I need to ask myself, what does that even mean? What is being, because sometimes we do want to be stricter with ourselves. Like there are times, like if I start getting loosey-goosey with my food, like I'll notice like, two or three times a week, we're going to the restaurant and suddenly I'm making excuses to eat nachos three times a week. There's no world where Corinne's ever going to keep her weight off eating nachos at a bar three times a week. That does not mean I can't have nachos. It means I need to be honest with myself and say things like, okay, maybe we do need to be a little stricter this week. And that means we're going to plan for a night where we get to go get our nachos. And the other nights, if I want to go out that bad, it's chicken salad for you. And that's okay.
Okay.
Like,
Yeah. I think
there
that,
are
and that's
times.
okay. That's
And
super important. That's the
yes.
part that my brain skips. It's like, but, or we can just eat it all right now in case we decide, to take this away. Or, yeah, I
Well,
think
and
that's super
that's where you
helpful.
want to create that safety and just say, no, we're not going to eat it all right now, because that's never worked. Every time I eat it all, there's always another time where I eat it all again. I've never, the biggest lie I ever tell myself is that I'm going to eat something, get it out of my system, morph into a new human being who has immense willpower and can lose all their weight and sustain that for the rest of their life. That is the lie. Did you listen to my Wednesday? If you did not listen to my Wednesday Q&A, I actually talk exactly about that in the
Oh,
Wednesday.
I did not
Listen
listen
to
to the
this
call
Wednesday.
before this, but not Wednesday. I'll listen to that.
Listen to this Wednesday, because I literally talk about getting it out of our system.
Okay.
It's
I will
like,
do that.
it is the ultimate lie. It's like, not once have I ever gotten it out of my system.
Yeah.
I've gotten it out of the house for about a week or two until I bring it back. And it's back in my system. So I have to change the system. Like, it's like the new system is we plan for these things. You can totally have them. I will never take these away long-term ever again. I'm just not going to eat them in bulk and like an asshole anymore.
Yeah.
That's the new system. But like 28 pounds, I'm going to tell you right now, before your wedding, is sustainable weight loss. It is only 1 pound per week. It is drinking your water. It is noticing when you're eating desserts at night and learning to be like, you know what? I can have desserts, but I just need to plan for them. I don't need to eat them every night. And I don't need to get them out of my system anymore. I'm not going to be doing anything strict until my wedding. I'm going to literally just be doing it the no BS way. I'm just going to be like, here's how we're going to do it. And then when you write it all down, make sure it makes sense. It feels okay. I can do this. And I can do this when my brain's throwing fits. I'm going to be able to redirect myself back to this plan when it wants to get stricter, when it thinks it's running out of time, when it thinks we should be working harder, when it's telling me that stuff. I know that's not motivation. That's not my positive, energetic self. Now, when there are times it's like, you know what? We have more energy this week. Why don't you do an extra bike ride? Why don't you do this? Why don't we do this level up? And I feel like it's a good idea. I feel like I'm aligned with it. That's not me risking doing too much. That's me riding the wave of where I'm at in momentum right now. And if I have another week where I'm like, I don't want to do this extra stuff. These level ups that I've added in, I want to just go back to the basics. And you just say, like, all right, this is the couple of weeks where you're like, I'm just going to be in this mode. Because through all of it, all you really have to do is the basics to get a pound off a week.
Yeah, that's so reassuring. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Feel,
thank you.
Yeah, I feel so good. Thank you so much. Happy holidays.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Laura Gary. Go Titans. Derrick Henry. What are we, why are we talking about Derrick Henry? Are they doing something? I know they're playing right now. Are they doing something great? I love Derrick Henry, by the way. The king. All right, Laura. Sorry to get so distracted, but I saw it in the comments. I was like, what are the Titans doing? All right.
No worries. How you doing?
Tell me what you want coaching on.
Okay. So I have two things that I want to talk with you about. Three, if I just start out with saying, and I feel like I need to just say this from my heart when we get all emotional, is that I have been reflecting on my years and my time. I just turned 49. So I have one, I always see my life in like 5-year increments, and I have one more year of this last 45 to 50. And I am so grateful this year, or not this year, these last 4 or 5 years that I've been with PNP, No BS, and how my thoughts have changed and how much I've grown and how much I have just become so much kinder and healthier and more loving to myself and my brain. And you are such a pivot point in that. So I'm just so grateful for you. So my heart is filled with gratitude.
Well,
get that
you.
Out of the way. Yes. Number, so then there's two other things. The last time I talked to you, I was in such a strife and such a worried point about work. Like work was really my, my thoughts were just, I was beating myself up over work. My work has changed. I have stopped traveling. I have settled down. We're permanent. It's in a role that to me is very easy and very doable and just great. And I'm loving it.
Good.
Nothing wrong with that. So I feel like I can focus more just on myself. And so the two things that I was like, I'm not sure which one I want to talk about, but I think if I can just talk this through, one of them is like I know my circumstance changed with my work, which helped change my thoughts. I get that.
Yeah.
But I worry about like, if I start to try to challenge myself again, I'm going to go back into that old thinking. Like, sure, when everything's easy, it's great. Everything's fine.
What do you mean by challenge yourself? You'll go back to old, like what old thinking? Because you probably will go back to old thinking, but that's okay. We just, now you know it's coming. So we just redirect.
It's just putting pressure on myself about either not being good enough, or I don't know why I'm even trying to do this. What were you thinking? Kind of questioning myself.
Well, don't you think that's
myself.
A great reason then to go after it so that that old thinking can come up and that this time you can rewire it?
I would like to think that, but I don't.
Well, let me just tell you, that old thinking is still in there. And
yeah.
It can't get rewired without challenge.
Okay.
Otherwise, you're so, just saying, like, here's what I'm going to do. I'm not going to challenge myself so that I
right?
cannot be good enough, so that I can
right.
be all these things that my brain thinks I am. And not saying
it's
that
so
if
funny.
You don't challenge yourself that you're not good enough, but I just want you to see, like,
yeah.
If you have things you really want to do for yourself and you hold yourself back for fear you'll have shitty thoughts about you, then you're kind of just manifest. You're just saying like, well, I don't want to have the shitty thoughts, so I'm not going to do anything good for myself, which kind of proves the point. Well, now I just feel like I don't have a not good enough life. It's good.
And I kind of feel like that's what I've done over the last 5 years in certain areas. Like I work on myself and I get to feeling really good. And I think, oh, I can handle this. I can do this. And so I go into this challenge and then I go, oh no. And I step back, but I might be taking 2 steps forward, but it's just 1 step back and it's still 2 steps forward. And
so you're better off for challenging yourself.
Yes. Yes. I would like to be more forward. Like I would like to take less steps back, I guess, or less doubting of myself.
Then the answer, I want you to listen when I say this.
Okay.
The answer to become someone who can keep moving forward means you have to keep challenging yourself. Then each time you want to go back, you have to rewire that part of you.
That's where the work is.
Yes,
that's
the
moment.
Your next level. Like the first level was just getting you to be able to challenge yourself back in the day. Right.
Okay. Right.
You know, like you had to become someone who could challenge themselves, and you've already become
right.
That person. You have become someone who challenges themselves, and then they hit a moment where they're like, ooh, it's a little too successful here. It's a little too good. And so your brain like starts going, meh, and it like throws at you, like, you're not good enough. You can't sustain this. Rah, rah, rah. And just like, okay, let me lower the temperature so I can feel good about myself again. Let me get back to a part where my brain doesn't bitch. But that's a little bit down from where I was. Now we want to become version two. Version two is I can challenge myself. And when all of that comes up, now I'm going to become the kind of person who negotiates with that voice, who acknowledges when it starts, who keeps moving forward anyway, who changes their opinions about themselves, so that each time they get success, they don't have to downregulate anymore. But you have to go through the version of you who unlearns downregulating.
Okay.
Otherwise, you just downregulate ahead of time.
Okay. And I don't know if I have, I mean, when I'm looking back on things, I don't think I've downregulated ahead of time. I keep pushing, I keep going, I keep dreaming bigger, I keep, like, I remember, God, I remember all of our coaching calls. I'm just so blessed. Thank you for picking on me.
Yeah.
I remember one of the coaching calls of like wanting to do the first dopey challenge and like being terrified of it and talking about my training and talking about how scared I was. And you said, well, do you know, it was the same thing. And I have progressed from that point. I don't want to say, God, you haven't learned. I have progressed. You told me, I mean, don't do the dopey challenge. Like, don't do that. Just do a 5K. If you just want to, you know, if you don't want that brain to, if you don't want your brain to go off, just do a 5K. And I was like, no, I don't want to do that. Well, you got to keep doing it. And I'm about to do my fourth dopey challenge with confidence now. And I'm thinking of bigger and bolder things. So it's not that I've downgraded or it's still maybe a little downgrade. But it's better than what I was, and I'm
downregulated. Whatever these new dreams you have of yourself, is what you said when you first came in was, I'm afraid of the not good enough voice, so I'm wondering if I should challenge myself anymore. And I'm saying that if you decide to not challenge yourself, because what you don't want to do is end up with the not good enough voice triggering that version of you, then the down regulation happens ahead of time. I'm not talking about the current ways you challenge yourself. I'm talking about these new things you're wanting to challenge yourself on. Okay. What is something new you want to challenge? Because you're like, my life is settled down. I've got time. I can actually, like, there's stuff I want to work on. What?
Yeah. So it's losing. It's getting back down to where I was. It's losing another, I would say another 30 to 40 pounds for sure. Okay. Is one of them. And then another one is it's a dream that I have of doing, basically combining my love of my job and my love of running and taking the next year to build something that enables me to do something more with it, to run more and to, kind of be an advocate for my profession.
Okay. Let's just take the weight loss since this is a weight loss troop that we have. Okay. Here.
Yeah.
So
that is part of it.
All right. Let's just say we're going to lose 40 pounds next year. 2024, okay. I'm dropping 40 before I turn 50.
Okay.
Why are we afraid to do that? Because you might say I'm not good enough?
Because I feel like the thoughts that I have when I feel like the thoughts that I have going into that as far as being able to do it, like when I lost it the first time with you and got to that range, I really believed it. I really believed that I was learning and I was doing things different and I was going to. And I didn't. You
did do all of that. You just happened to regain some of your weight.
Okay.
That's all that happened. Like, I like how your brain is like, I must have somehow did it wrong.
I didn't believe in myself enough or you were wrong.
You like, totally obviously did. Like, you were gave wrong. Yourself the gift of totally believing. You just couldn't anticipate something that would happen that would get you to eat again. There's a big difference between like I 100% believe that tomorrow when me, Logan, and Chris go to Curry House, that we will drive there safely and return safely. Like, I'm not going to get in the car and be like, you know what we need to do? We really should doubt that we're going to get there safely all the way there and all the way back just to make sure that we get back okay. But I could be wrong. There are things I could, like somebody could just be drunk driving down the road. A deer could pull out. The tire could blow. Thousands of things could happen on that car ride. But I choose to believe, like, we're going to have a good time. We're going to spend the meal together. Just like you could totally believe, like 100%. I'm never going to, I can, I, Laura, I'm right there with you. I 100% believe I'm never going to gain my weight back. But you know what I also think about sometimes? I don't know what would happen if Chris died. I don't know what will happen if my mother died. I don't know what would, like, if something, God forbid, something was to happen to Logan. If my business collapsed, or just say suddenly I couldn't afford my employees, I'd do it all on my own. I could never promise anyone that I would not emotionally eat, that my old habits wouldn't come back. But I'm not going to sit around and think about that stuff all the time. What I am going to think about is I totally can maintain my weight. And if for some reason I regain my weight, I will figure out some shit then. Because I, like, just like you, when you lose your weight, for all of you, the reason why I say we're losing it for the last time is because I hope to God what I do is teach you the skills that if you should ever regain some of your weight, you know emotionally why it's happening so that you can get it back off. And for some of you, you will never have to regain your weight again. It just won't be a thing. And for some of us, we can't anticipate what's going to happen. But that doesn't mean we did our belief wrong. That something must have been wrong with us. Every single person, when they lose their weight, can have triggering events, can have things happen that push their nervous system, their emotional bandwidth further than what they had to strengthen while they were losing weight. My job is to teach you the skills to notice when that's happening, that at some point that you can go back to losing weight again. And I think you're there.
Yeah. I do think I'm there. I think I've been there for a while, and I have been. I have been going down and losing it in a very good, healthy, sustainable way. And it's not all down. It's been up and down, and I do have better skills now. I guess when you're saying that, I logically understand what you're saying. The
what's the but?
Yeah, the but. What's the arguing with you? Wanting to believe everything you're saying, but I thought that I truly believed when I was losing it also that if, like, I believed that if I gained 5 or 10 pounds, I would catch it versus 50 pounds. And
let
that was
ask you
not
this.
The case.
When you gained 5 or 10 pounds, did you know what was happening?
Yes.
Okay, so
and
you
I
were
freaked.
Right. You
and
caught
I freaked.
it. That doesn't
and
mean
I,
you were going to do something about it, but you
okay,
definitely knew
okay,
it was happening.
Okay. All right, all right.
So your brain's
I
wrong
that.
Yet
Yeah.
Again.
No, that's true.
What else
I
is
knew
it
it
wanting
was
to
happening.
say?
I knew it was happening, and I was freaking out, and I was panicking, and I didn't
Yeah.
do anything towards it, and I just kept gaining.
So here's what we learned.
Okay.
Is that
tell me.
You do pay attention. You do know. And this time, when you lose weight, any time that you gain a little weight, you've got to practice the not freaking out. You've got to practice being there for yourself when you want to panic. Like, that was part of the missing stuff.
Okay.
And this is often what happens is when we are losing weight, and it was kind of like when y'all say, the first time was easy. Like, I was just like happy the whole time and motivated, and nothing got in my way. Every now and then the stars do align, and the vast majority of it was easy and all this other stuff. But if you were just kind of steadily losing weight, guess what? You never had to practice
the emotional part of it.
Freak outs and panic.
Yeah, I didn't. I
so
really
you
didn't.
right. So
Okay.
this is one
Okay.
of the things that you can just tell yourself. It's like, okay, I can see why I missed it.
Yeah.
When I was freaking out and panicking, I was taking care of myself the best way I knew how, which was to eat. Because I was, and if you're freaking out and panicking, if you're regaining weight, I guarantee you're probably also experiencing shame.
Yeah, shame and guilt. It was
Yeah,
totally.
like you just like it's the perfect storm of shitty feelings, right? So for you, it's like this time it's like, okay, the best way, because if I had to guess, just based on this conversation, small part of you that's freaking out about trying again. And there's a small part of you that's already panicking that this is going to be harder than the
Little
last time. There's a little
bit.
part of you that's a little ashamed that you even have to get coached on this. Like you're experiencing those emotions. So now what we get to do is we get to lose weight overcoming them, not trying to hide from them, not making them going away by facing them dead on, being compassionate, saying things to ourselves in those moments when we're having those thoughts, because that is the path for this next time to help you keep the weight off.
All right, Corinne. You're brilliant. I love you. Thank you so much. I just love you so much. I hear the firmness, I hear the correctness, but I also hear the love that you have for all of us in your voice. And I'm so grateful. I'm here for life. I've teased and said I'm going to be a member for life because this is my coaching. This is my therapy. It's cheaper than a therapist, and I love being able to do this. And this will get me a very good part of the way and lots of stuff to journal on. And
Well, tell
I'll
me
be
what you
back.
can tell yourself when you're a little panicky, a little anxious, a little shamey, a little guilt about this weight, because that's going to come up, because that's going to get triggered probably almost every time you're trying to lose weight again. And every time the scale blips a little, this time you're not going to be super self-assured version of you. You're going to have to insert a comforting version of you.
Yeah. I mean, I think I just want to remind myself that this was the portion that I missed last time. I think that was really key. What you said was really important and really hit home with me was this emotional part. There have been times, and I've been working on that quite a bit as far as again with this job, it's just very easy. It's very easy. I get on a really good schedule where I eat my dinner. I work kind of evenings, and so I eat my dinner and then I come home. And sometimes I'm a little not even hungry. I'm a little snacky. I'm a little, it's a habit and I want to grab something. And I just remind myself, I've been reminding myself, like, you're not hungry. Your meal was fantastic. You were solid. You're just tired. This is just a habit. Like, this is just a, but it's uncomfortable. And I'm acknowledging that uncomfortableness in that moment, but saying you really need sleep more than you need food right
But
now.
I want to
And
know, what are you going to tell yourself about the regain? And anytime that the weight is not going down as fast as you think it should, and having to lose 30 or 40 pounds again, I want to know what the story you're going to tell about that.
I want to focus on, because I think the shame and the guilt, or the thing that comes up, is it's going to take forever. Like, this is going to take forever. It's going to take so long, is kind of the what gets me more spiraling and gets me into the guilt and shame. And I just want to give myself patience with it and understanding that.
How can you give yourself patience? So let me ask you this. How many of the 40, let's say just say 40 for grins, how many of the 40 pounds will it take before you feel like, I'm on a roll? This is working. I feel better. This is good.
I don't know, maybe 15 or 20 of them,
Oh,
maybe.
so it won't take forever. It'll take 15 pounds for you to really start feeling a lot better about yourself. I just wanted to, like, just for all of you, I've never really taught it this way, but I'm just like, this is very interesting. A lot of y'all always say, it's going to take forever. And when you say it's going to take forever, this is what you're really saying. It's going to take forever in parentheses, because I can't be happy until 40 pounds are gone. Instead of,
Oh, I can't be confident until 40 pounds are gone. I can't be, yeah, I can't believe in myself
but is
until
that
40 pounds are
true?
gone.
If you
No.
were down 15 pounds, would you suddenly start being, you know what? I'm a little more confident than I was 15 pounds ago. I'm a little bit more believing. I'm kind of on a roll.
No, I think that I
So
could
you can.
even break that down even more, 5 pounds, because 5 pounds for me gets me to Wonderland. I'm at 204.
Yes.
So 5 pound gets me to one. So I can do 5 pounds to get me to Wonderland. That'll be like, oh, okay.
That's a way better thought. Like, you know, in
Yeah.
5 pounds, I'm going to feel so much better rather than it's going to take
It'll take
forever
forever.
before I feel better about myself.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Well,
And
that's what I'm working on.
5 pound does sound, it is doable. It is very doable.
Well, I just want you to never say it's going to take forever.
Okay.
And I want you to focus on I'm going to feel better. Like that first 5 pounds gets me into Wonderland, or that first five, like I'm going to feel better. Like I'm going to feel like I'm on a roll. Like I'm going to feel like things are working. That is such a healthier thought
Right.
than 40 pounds takes forever.
Okay. So every time I hear, so every time I hear it's going to take forever, and I know that that one will come up, and I will be, I'm marking it in my reticular activation system to notice it when it comes up, to stop and say, no, 5 pounds is so doable, and 5 pounds is obtainable. 5 pounds is,
5 pounds is
I'm
like between now and then,
confident I
I'm
can lose
already
five
going to
pounds.
feel better. I'm
Yeah.
not waiting until 40 pounds to feel better.
These
Like,
are the things I'm doing now,
yes, and
and
I want
remind
you to
myself of
really
those.
think about this. All of you who struggle with this, is it true? Like, I'm going to tell you right now, if I waved my magic wand, Laura, and you woke up tomorrow and you were automatically down 5 pounds, would you feel better? At
I mean,
all.
I think I
I would hope so. You're
would, yeah.
getting a fucking granted wish.
Yeah.
I'd feel amazing if I woke up tomorrow and was like, oh my God, barely tried, down 5 pounds. This is the
Right.
best program I've ever enjoyed.
Right. Which is kind of what I felt like in 2018. I had those thoughts.
Well, this is what I'm saying. Like, you're gonna induce panic and fear and all these other things if we're just thinking that 40 pounds. It's going to take forever. And
Yeah.
we say it like it's just true.
Right.
When the equal truth is, when I lose 5 pounds, I know I'm going to be feeling better. And 5 pounds is not that far off.
Right.
And I'm going to feel better with every chunk of 5 pounds. And when we start thinking that way, we already start giving ourselves the gift of some relief, some
Yes.
patience. Like we're keeping our focus in the near part of the future. We're staying out of that land of like way off land. We're like, we can affect 5 pounds real easily. 40 just sounds so, you know, huge. Five sounds like a few weeks of just getting my shit together.
Right.
Barely getting my shit together.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Thank
Thank you,
you.
lady.
Alrighty, bye. Some people are asking if you invite your friends to the workshop that's happening. So don't forget, next Saturday, December 30th, we're doing the big year-end kickoff for everyone, which is for our membership. And if you give someone your referral code and they join, so they'll pay $59 to come to the workshop, they will get the replay. They're also getting their first month of No BS included in their workshop fee. So they'll get the workshop, they'll get the replay, and they will get their first month. So as long as you give them your referral code, you'll get a free month. For every person you sign up for the workshop, you will also get a free month of No BS on your account. I hope that answers the question. But yeah, if people have to work that day, it's not a big deal. They will get the replay just like all of us get the replay. Okay. Joe and Laurie Null. I doubt Joe's coming, but we'll see. Maybe Joe will show up. It's couples coaching here at the Queen's Club. Ugh, Green's thirsty today, y'all. Logan and I went for our annual trek to the mall yesterday to look at Christmas decorations, his favorite mall. It was fun. He's so cute. He uses his own credit card now because he works and stuff. And I was wanting to buy him something. He's like, no, I can buy that. And I said, well, let your mama buy. It was soap. We were both getting a fancy soap that's like an oil based because he's got real dry skin. I was like, this is the best soap. I use this soap. he kept wanting to pay. And I was like, let your mama buy this. And then we went to a bookstore and he wanted to get his grandparents books for Christmas. He would not let me pay. I was like, fine, you can buy your grandparents your own gifts. I still treat him like a baby. All right, Joe, can you turn your video on? Lori?
Okay. Yeah, it's Lori. I don't know why it's showing Joanne Lori, but
That's all right.
I don't know how to do that, turning on the video. How do you go about
I've
doing
asked
that?
you to start your video. Is it not
Yeah, I'm
prompting
hitting
you?
that. I
Well,
hit
maybe your
that.
camera's not done. That's all right. Just go ahead and talk. We'll just
Okay.
talk
All
later.
right. This is probably a similar question that you spoke with Pam earlier about on the previous session. I heard you recently say something about eating less than 1500 calories is probably not advisable. I don't come close to 1500 calories, and I get so full just eating a small amount of food. I just wanted to tap into your knowledge a little bit to see what I can do.
What, tell me, have you ever had weight loss surgery?
No.
Okay, so
But I did a
sometimes
lot of yo-yo dieting.
that's okay. Sometimes when people have had weight loss surgery, that can be a phenomenon. Are you counting your calories?
I kind of keep it in the back of my mind like a ballpark figure because I'm so used to doing that over time. But
Well, like, what is your running calculation typically when you're
probably
doing?
about 700, 800. I tried to get up to 1,000 sometimes.
Tell me
I
a
did.
typical day of food for you.
Well, it changes. I eat
That's okay. Just
salads for
like,
breakfast. What's that?
I just need like a general.
Okay, well, it varies every morning. I eat salad sometime for breakfast. I eat sushi for breakfast. I eat dolmas for breakfast. I eat crazy things. What a lot of leftovers. But like I'll have, like three stuffed grape leaves, and I'll be so full. And a salad. It's not even a big salad, but I'll put some cheese on it, maybe a couple of croutons, a little bit of olive oil or some dressing.
Okay.
And I get full with that. So it usually
Do
takes
you?
me maybe 5 or 6 hours before I feel hunger again to eat. So basically, I'm just eating maybe two meals a day and a small snack just to take my meds at night.
So, how fast are you losing weight right now?
Well, I've lost, well, I don't weigh myself only once a month. So I'm guessing I probably lost another 5 pounds. So 10 pounds while I've been officially on this, but I think it's a total of 40.
So you've lost, but how over how long of a period?
Well, I started October 26 here, so I think it's hard for me to say because I had steroid drops for my eye, and they cha dropped those, and I took those away and gave me a shot in my eye, and I dropped 30 pounds in 7 weeks because they gave took off, took me off the steroids, and so then I started this program and I started losing. I think it's like about it's 2 months now. So I think it's probably going to be 5 pounds each month, which is
Okay, so
wonderful.
yeah, so I would throw out the steroid weight loss because that's different. So like whenever anybody's on like big powerful steroids and stuff, your body's gonna like swell up. It's got a lot of things it's gonna do. So we can throw that out. But if you've been losing 5 pounds a month, that's within the safe range. And then here I will say, are you measuring? So, are you just doing a running calculator because you've done diets, or are you actually measuring all this and know exactly this is how many calories you're eating?
Well, I guess I've dieted for so many years that I can just basically come very close to what
Well, most of us
calories are.
think that, and most nutritional labels are wrong. They're actually misrounded very
Oh,
often.
okay. All right.
So, a lot of times when we think we know what we're talking about on diets and stuff, a lot of nutrition labels are not accurate.
Oh, okay.
It would be great if they were, but that's why, like, sometimes that kind of backfires on us. Honestly, if you're losing 5 pounds a month and you think you're doing 800, you're probably actually eating closer to at least 12 to 14.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, most people don't realize, like, little calories add up really quick. Like if you're eating stuffed grape leaves and you didn't make them, if they're
I
made at
did
a
make them.
restaurant,
Yeah, I do make them.
100 and something calories a piece by themselves.
Right. I do make them. Yes. Okay, I make my own sushi and my own grape leaves. And
oh my God, yeah. I need you to come live with me. I would love to make me homemade sushi.
It's really quite easy.
Oh my gosh. This is what I would do. Mm-hmm. I would not worry about it.
Okay.
Continue to use your hunger as a scale. If you start losing more than 5 pounds a month, mm-hmm. you might want to seek a doctor.
Okay.
Just because if you're not getting hungry and whatnot, and like mm-hmm. you're only wanting to eat around 700 to 800 calories a day, mm-hmm. you might just want to just make sure there's nothing medical going on.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
The other thing you could do if you just wanted to really gut check it, and I don't have people weigh and measure and do all that stuff for dieting reasons, but like in this case, if you're just routinely never eating over that, like I never have any days where I'm hungry or anything, you might just want to calculate it for a week mm-hmm. or two just to make sure that I just don't want you way under eating because it's not healthy.
Right. Because I wake up sometimes and I'm dizzy in the morning and I didn't know if it was from my meds or if it was, you know, the lack of calories. I did consult with my nurse practitioner and she said that if I was in fact malnourished, it would show up in my blood work. And she said, my blood work is fine. So
okay.
I'm depending on that, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, you've seen a medical person. If mm-hmm. you're waking up in the morning, and I mean, is it a common side effect for your medicines to have dizziness in the morning?
Yeah.
Okay.
Probably. Could be that, or it could be the other. I'm not sure.
I would ask, because if it's meds, if you're having dizziness, you always want to let your doctors know this, because okay. sometimes it could be they need to ratchet, they need to tweak some meds and stuff, and you don't mm-hmm. want to be taking meds in a way where it's causing dizziness. Like I would just ask them about it. Just like, hey, right. I'm noticing this. You know, I'm working on my weight, but I want to make sure that this isn't me under eating. Like, is this my meds? Like I would just ask them.
Okay.
But if they're saying everything looks good and whatnot, then I wouldn't worry about it. And I would just let them know about that dizziness. Now, if you okay. are waking up in the mornings and you're dizzy, you can't eat a little first thing in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah, I usually eat right away. One thing I did do on Friday, I did reach about what I considered about 1,500 calories. And then I woke up on Saturday, I felt much better. So I don't know, you know, I'm going to have to play with it a while.
Mm-hmm. Here's something you can test is why don't you try to plan to eat like at least 1,500 calories a day?
Okay.
And like, just make your 24-hour plan with, I'm not going to just eat twice a day. I'm going to eat 3 times a day. And here's what I'm going to eat and about the volume. And try that for a couple of weeks. Number one, really track your energy levels and your moods. See if you don't feel better, if you have more energy, if your moods are better. The other thing to track is I would just weigh once a week. And I will bet you that your weight will continue to drop. I don't think it's going to cause you to be maybe for the first week, it could be a small stall.
Okay.
But what we don't want to do is eat so little that like your body ends up going into some kind of threat mode.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't want to accidentally do that.
Okay. Okay. All right.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye. Lisa Marie. Let me take me off the spotlight. There we go. Hey, what are we coaching on?
Hi. So, alcohol.
Okay. Do you work for NASA?
I'm a Boeing engineer at NASA Kennedy Space Center.
Wow.
And you actually coached me 2022 on your New Year's, and I wore my, yes, it is. It is actually rocket scientist. And the chat was like, is she really? I'm like, yeah.
That is amazing. I saw your NASA shirt. I was like, wow. I don't know. I find it so impressive. I'm still impressed by you.
Thank you.
All right. Well, let's talk about some booze.
So, one thing I wanted to ask you first is, do you think you'll bring back Don't Stop Believing?
No. I know that's disappointing for a lot of you.
It's all right. It was just a question because my accountability partner and I kind of keep trying to plan on it. And if not, I mean, we're coming to the March camp or the body image camp together. So we're doing that. But so no worries. Just
since you threw it out there, let me tell everybody, it's one of those events that I like, but we can't hardly get enough people to do it. And number one, it is a bear. We have to hire ambulance drivers and we have to hire police. And like, there's so many regulations that we have to do. It becomes an expensive event real quick, more expensive than usual. And then we can't get enough people to do it. So it's a lovely event, but it's like every year and we have to have waivers signed. Like you wouldn't believe the crap Nashville makes us do, which I'm kind of glad they do that. I mean, they want us to be safe out there, but good Lord, it is a beast to put on a race. So
yeah,
that's what happened. But I will love to have you at Body Image Camp and we will have an amazing time.
Yeah, we're coming. So I'm an OG since 2015 and I reached Century Club in May. And about 8 months prior to reaching Century Club, I had completely quit drinking 100%. So I went through the mindful drinking. I've done I follow Rachel Hart and all that. And then I let off the gas a little and I'm like, I've got this alcohol thing under control. I've got these strategies. I've got the tools. I've got this, the cognitive dissonance under control. And so I started planning drinks and I immediately went into over drinking.
Okay.
And it started out as like once a month, then once every every couple weeks. And now I'm back to over drinking once a week again.
So like when you say over, tell me what over drinking to you means. Once a week, how many drinks are you having?
So it's beyond what I plan. So it could be anywhere from, one drink over plan to, three over plan drinks.
Okay. So here's the question. Do you want to keep alcohol in your life or not? Because you don't have to, and you don't have to cut it out either.
Yeah. So I've done the all or nothing, right? I've done the doing it all the time and doing that never. And I want that happy medium of having a couple drinks once in a while. I don't want it to be such a, so much work.
Okay. Well, a lot of work. In the interim though, it's probably going to be work. In order, like, this is the funny thing. Everybody's like, I don't want it to be that much work. That'd be like you saying, I really want to be a rocket scientist without a lot of work. Like, I want to work for NASA and Boeing and all the things. But, that's studying and getting, like, a degree. Like, how do we get past that part? Like, no, we don't. You know what? Anything that you want to become takes work. So we have to agree with ourselves that first, this is who I would like to be. And in order to become her, I'm willing to sign up for the work that is involved. So that's what I want to know. Like, are you willing to sign up for that work?
Because so
kicking and screaming.
I am willing. And I am actually doing the work. So I plan the drinks. I plan the strategies. Like I've consumed so much on this topic that I feel like since I've leveled up my thought work on this, that Rolodex of excuses has also leveled up.
Yeah,
of course. But when I'm kind of
leveled
stuck
up
at
your Rolodex point. Of combative thoughts.
So I do. I plan them. Yeah. I strategize. I look at all the reasons why I don't want to overdrink because I run, I'm a runner. So I run in the morning. My runs suffer, I have all the reasons and I go into.
I'm talking about like in the moment when the Rolodex excuses start, what do you do when that happens? clients.
Okay. So that's okay. So I do a discovery worksheet each time too.
And no, that don't count. That's after. So what we have is pre-work, we have post-work, and then we have the game. I'm asking you about the game.
Like we okay, when game time comes.
And our excuses start. Now what?
So when the excuses start, I pretty much go to fuck it.
Right. That's where your work is. Like, who do you have to become in the moment you're drinking and your excuses start and you want to go into fuck it mode? Who do you got to be in that moment? Because that's what we're not doing right now.
How do I do that? How do I do that interrupt?
You tell me. Every person's different with a different thumbprint. Just like in this case, like, I want you to think about this. Who do you have to be? And this is why I want to know, do you really want to be her? Who do you have to be in the moment when you want to quit, when you want to keep drinking and you just want to go, fuck it. Like, I got juicy excuses and they all sound very relevant. And to boot, I've got a buzz. Now, who do you have to be in that moment? Probably someone who feels deprived. You have to be someone who's probably going to be strict with herself. You're going to have to be someone who honors what they say and doesn't have a good time in the moment. It's no fun to tell yourself with a buzz, we're not drinking anymore. You have to be a buzzkill for yourself until you start getting to the point to where those excuses, where your brain is just like, you know what? We're done drinking. Okay. The last few times we did it, like I didn't like it, but I liked the after so much more. When you start reaping the rewards of becoming your own buzzkill, you start reaping the rewards of being deprived in the moment. You start reaping the rewards of seeing like, what is life like? Is life so bad if I don't just keep drinking? Only in that moment, not later. But until you give yourself that version, like you have to pass through the part of the version of you right now, it's kind of like, and this is what most of us do. We do it with food and we do it with alcohol. Here's what I want, Corinne. I want to know how not to have to go through that part. Can I do enough discovery worksheets so that the next time I have an urge, those excuses don't come up and I'm just like, really following my plan today. No excuses. Came up. No, the only way the excuses won't come up is after a repeated times of you not following through on them. And then the brain lets the excuses go because there's no reward for them. So like, this is the thing. It's like, what will it take for you to become the version who hears the excuses and just follows the plan?
I'm going to have to be someone who is okay with being uncomfortable.
Yeah. So tell me what's going to be so uncomfortable. Let's go there. So I want you to imagine when's the last time you planned drinks and overdrank?
Last Sunday. Last Sunday.
Okay, good.
Watching football.
So we have a good, like, I always like it when it's happened in the near future. I was kind of hoping you would say last night because that would even be better, but because we always remember things, you know, like when they just happened. So last Sunday, you're watching football. How many drinks had you planned?
I planned one. I said, if I want one, I'll have one. Really wasn't planning on drinking, but I gave myself permission to have one.
Okay, but let me just tell you, you did plan to drink. If you say, if I want one, I'll have one, that's still a plan.
Yeah.
That's a plan to drink in case you want one, which I do the same thing. Like a lot of times, like some week, like I just don't know if I'm going to want to drink when we go to our bar. Like sometimes I know I want to, and sometimes I don't know if I'm going to want to. And I'm like, you know what? We're going to go down there. And if I want to have a drink, I'll have a drink. And if I don't, I'll be fine. That's still a plan. And I still like that. I like that, like, caring feeding that we're doing for ourselves. Okay. So you had one, and then what happened?
Well, the game wasn't over.
Okay.
And food took longer and okay. I didn't want to have water. I wanted another tequila sunrise.
Okay, so I want another tequila sunrise. And the way that I'm talking to myself is, all right, I'm going to have to wait on food and the game's not over. So I want to know, if you had not had the tequila sunrise, when you say, like, I'm going to have to get used to being uncomfortable, what would it have been like? Like, and realistically, that you're afraid of to sit there without that other drink?
Bored.
Okay. And why would we be bored?
I don't know if that's necessarily true, but I think that that's what I was trying to avoid.
Right. But why do you think you would be bored? Like, what would be going on where you would feel bored?
I wouldn't have necessarily anything to do.
Is that true? I mean, I want you to think it through.
What would not true.
Okay. What would you be doing if you weren't drinking?
I still would have just been sitting there watching the game.
Okay. So that's good to know. It's like, this is why I wanted to parse it apart. So It's probably not you're afraid you would be bored. Because, like, when you think it through, it's like, well, actually, I would just be watching the game. So I don't know if I was avoiding boredom. What else might you have been avoiding? Not ordering a drink.
As silly as it sounds, kind of connection with my husband, because he was sitting there having a beer.
Yeah. So we can ask the same question. All right. How would not having a tequila sunrise not connected you to him?
Well, in reality, it doesn't. That's just the good excuse that came up.
Okay. So this is why I kind of want to piece this apart, and you can kind of keep doing this, is you want to really figure out, like, what would be so uncomfortable for me? It's like, the first thing is my brain's going to tell me, like, I can anticipate thinking I'll have nothing to do. Because in that moment, you have to become the kind of person who says, we have something to do. Like, whether you drink or not, you will be sitting here and having the exact same experience. You're either going to have the experience sipping water or sipping a tequila sunrise, but, like, nothing else changes. Then it's like, yeah, but I mean, he's still drinking. Like, I'm not connected. And then you have to say, like, okay, how does me drinking a tequila sunrise actually connect us together? Well, it actually doesn't. It makes us mirror what we're doing. And I might mistake that as connection, but I also could be connected by just saying, like, I'm here. I can talk to him just as much as I can with another drink in my hand, if that's what you're wanting to do. Like, how do you two connect is the real question when you're sitting there together watching a game.
We actually play cards at the same time. Okay. And we talk. And people watch.
Okay. So I think for you, like, and this only reason why I'm saying this is because this is what really helped me with this problem, because I used to think I couldn't go to the bar and not drink if Chris was drinking. That was our connection time. And then I had to really start pulling it apart about what all is connection. And like you just said, like, we sit and we talk, we play cards and we people watch. It's like allowing yourself to have an expanded version of connection. I'm only removing one piece of how we have connected in the past. I thought it was the drinking, and it's actually these things are happening, and drinking is just something that we do while all this is also happening. Like,
forgetting to tell the whole story.
Exactly. It would be like if you went and let's say y'all forgot the cards at home. Would you be like, date night's over? There's no way we can watch a football game. Like, I can't watch a game. I'm mad at you now. I can't even connect. Or would you just be like, well, we don't have cards tonight. We're going to have to kind of figure out how to entertain ourselves. Probably have to talk more. Like, which one would you do?
Yeah, we would figure it out, and it wouldn't be a big, I wouldn't make a big deal out of it. There would be no mind drama over forgetting the cards.
That's what, like, you want to teach your brain not to have mind drama just because you're not going to drink.
That's where it is.
And right now it's recognizing the mind drama that you're actually having and pulling it apart, anticipating mind drama coming up and calming yourself down and saying, like, the first few times are always the hardest because there's a lot of mind chatter and a lot of redirecting, a lot of mind chatter and redirecting. But for all of you to remind yourself, this is not how it will always be. It will only be like this a few times, and then it gets exponentially easier after the first few times. And the first few times aren't that bad because right now what's happening is I'm ignoring the mind chatter and having the drinks in the moment in exchange for all the mind chatter for days and days and days that I'm over drinking, that I'm reintroducing a problem. Like, that's also mind chatter. And like, when you really start telling all of it, and this is, and I like to say, like, you know, there's what we do beforehand, which you're doing a great job. I'm planning, I'm strategizing, I'm doing things. Now what we want to do is have the strategies for the mind chatter, the strategies for, not the excuses, the strategies of, I'm not going to feel connected. I might feel bored. I might feel restless, deprived. And now I need strategies for those moments when that happens. Then we have the actual moment where we're like, we're in it. And we have to just calm ourselves down. And we just have to say, like, you know what? For this date night, I will not have an extra drink, even if it means feeling a little disconnected, feeling deprived, feeling whatever, because intellectually, I know that's not happening. I just emotionally feel that way. Then you can do discovery worksheets. You shouldn't need any, because if we say no, we're not going to need a discovery worksheet. But what I would encourage you to do is go ahead and do a discovery worksheet in the favor of what happened. Here's what, or just journal on it. Here's, like, I stuck to my plan. And here's the things I was thinking, and here's what I'm benefiting from not responding. And let yourself see, it's kind of like our successful urge worksheet, but it's like letting yourself see, oh, when I don't say yes and I go home, like, here's the relief I get. Here's the pride I get. Here's the mind chatter I love that I get to have. And then when you do that for just a few sessions, your brain is cataloging all of this and your brain knows what feels good. And if your brain is getting some feel good on the success side, because you're pointing it out, you're not just focusing on, like, got through that one, that was tough, I hope I can do this next time. If you do that, then your brain never gets to the positive benefit of a positive action. And if it's not getting the positive benefit of a positive action, it will keep a negative action that has a temporary positive emotion with it. Because that's all it's looking for, is to feel good. So we got to give it a reason to want to be attracted to that. Okay?
Got it.
All right.
I got it. That's great. Thank you very much.
Well, keep us posted on how it goes.
Yeah. I'll have an update for you at camp.
Well, I can promise all of you, like, when it comes to this particular topic, it is very, I never thought that I could become someone who actually dislikes drinking too much. I used to just think, like, I will never dislike, like, I might not like a hangover, but I'm always going to be the kind of girl that needs to drink like 3 to 4 glasses of wine. And that I could go to my own bar, go out on a date night and just not want to drink. I drink sometimes, like this week, I actually had 2.5 glasses of wine. We were there for a long time. We got to talking to a bunch of people. And just like all of you, like, I was just like, you know what? I haven't, like, we're still waiting on our food and people are still talking to us. I'm going to start another one. And I got like about, I don't know, a quarter to halfway in. I was like, okay, I probably need to stop. Like, this is not going to feel great. Oh my God, I felt like ass. I have not had two full glasses of wine at my bar in probably 2 or 3 months now. I would say 50% of the time we go, I don't drink at all. I just drink water and I just like go there to talk to Chris just to get out of the fucking house because we don't leave this house unless we go there. And then the other 50% of the time I'm drinking like one glass and it's just enough. And that is from time after time after time of like thinking through the relationship I want with alcohol, who I want to be. This really, like, I can connect with Chris in 1,000 different ways. Like, I can sit there and enjoy him. And he drinks the whole time. Trust me, his beer drinking has not slowed down 1 ounce. And if I can do it, I just feel like any of us can. Like, because I was very married to the idea that this is how we connect. This is how I have fun. It's not a big deal. You've lost your weight. Like, every Rolodex of excuse, I think I had it. And it just took an unwinding. And it just took several times of going and saying, like, you know what? This is how I started. I practiced first. I was doing the drink planning and everything. And then when I really wanted to ratchet down how much I wanted to drink, I would go and we bring our special waters. Chris and I drink Extend, as everybody knows. And I would pour my Extend in a glass. And the first thing I would tell the bartender when we sit down is, hey, check back with me in about 30 minutes. I need to get hydrated today. And that's the first thing I would say when I walk in. I'm just like, I just got to get hydrated. And then they would ask me about 30 minutes in, did I want something to drink? And then I'd be like, yes. And then it just, I don't know. It just got to where I started after I gave myself like 30 to 40 minutes of sitting there without drinking and having a good time. Like I would be thinking about the alcohol, but after a while I was like, wow, I can enjoy Chris without having to drink. Like it started like just giving me some evidence that maybe I didn't need to drink as much as I needed to. It just kind of opened the door a little bit. And then it just one day, we had been there like an hour and a half. And each time they came by, I was like, no, I'm good right now. Maybe in a little bit. And I was literally just enjoying myself. And when we left, I was like, oh my God, I didn't even drink. And then that gave me evidence of like, maybe I don't have to every time. Maybe I am becoming someone who is like, we're going to do this when we feel good. Like we're going to just love our reasons. And it took me time to train myself how to become someone who loved their reasons. I can go to Vegas now and not drink. And it slapped me silly. I never thought that would happen either. All right. I believe in you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, everybody. That is it. No matter what holiday you celebrate, I hope you have a lovely one. Love your family. Love yourself. If you can, take a break. If you're like some of my team, as you can tell, some of us are working. Some of us prefer to have our holidays, you know, in the summer. In God's weather, as I like to call it, which is Corinne. Corinne likes to take her time off when the sun is shining and she can be in a bathing suit somewhere. So y'all have a lovely one and I will see y'all on Wednesday. Bye, y'all.